She is one of two female master cheesemakers in the U.S. 55-year-old Pam Hodgson of Plymouth, Wisconsin, was one of the voices in the Washington Post project this month to overlay this question across all 50 states and D.C. What does it mean to be American in this time? Here's what Pam Hodgson told the Washington Post.
I'm grateful for all the opportunities and benefits that have come my way because of the hardships that earlier generations have endured. My American story is similar to some stories and in sharp contrast to others. Still, I have great appreciation for others' stories and struggles regardless of their similarities or differences to my own. I believe that the American story is one of opportunity that celebrates the different threads that are woven together to make a strong, colorful, and beautiful fabric.
We're talking with two editors who are behind this project this hour, The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Anne Gerhart is senior editor-at-large at The Washington Post and senior editor of the What Unites Us project. Anne, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
And Wendy Gallietta is here. She's health and science photo editor for The Washington Post, and she was the photo editor for the What Unites Us project. Wendy, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you.
And can you first explain what this project was all about and who you went after for these interviews?
Well, I think after last year's election and the inauguration, there was so much coverage and conversation around the concept of a polarized America, and some of us wanted to explore that question, kind of turn it on its head and wonder what unites us if there's so much that divides us. And the idea of a photo project actually was the result of photo editor Carly Domsadoff, who envisioned having a mosaic, almost a crazy quilt of American faces, and trying to find out if we could talk to those people about what it meant. And so the idea was to originally try to find as diverse a group of Americans as we could from all 50 states in the District of Columbia to take that sample and match it as closely as we could to the demographics of the country from the last census in terms of gender, background, ethnicity, race, age, and to fill it out that way. And so it also gave the photographers a chance to do something they don't usually do, which is interview people. And so some of the people were identified ahead of time, and Wendy probably knows more about that part of it. And some were people photographers met on other assignments as we were doing the rest of our coverage of the country.
Wendy, what settings did you photograph in?
We tried to photograph in a wide range of settings. We were everywhere from the Cheese Cave in Wisconsin, photographed Pam. We spent some time on the plains of Wyoming. We were in lobstering areas in Maine. I mean, we really tried to run the gamut so that we were everywhere in the United States.
How is this project different from other projects that you've done in the past where you've really tried to take a pulse on the country? Anne?
I think that the breadth of it is what made this so different. The scale is so much faster. Often our reporters will go out on the road and go to a particular locale, say a suburban area of Florida, and talk to people about a particular issue that's bothering them or an issue in the news. And in this one, we really were trying to sweep up the entire country as best we could from sea to shining sea and, you know, reach out beyond the divide, as it were, and the kind of conversation of the day. And that rhetoric that kind of is always on the chyron of your cable news show and, you know, you might see in your social media feed. And one of the things that was so gratifying for me working on it was how deeply people yearned to talk about how they felt about being American, to talk about their hopes and their dreams for the country, to talk about the warts, what they felt could be done to excise those, as it were, and to speak to the values they thought they shared with other people. I mean, it was clear to me there was this deep yearning for people to feel as if they could talk about the commonalities among them, even people they didn't know.
Wendy, oftentimes reporters and photographers, they parachute in. They go into, as Anne said, a community, get what they need, and then they leave for their story. Did you find that you were able to spend more time on the ground, and the people who carried out this assignment were able to perhaps better understand the environment around them?
You know, I think we kind of approach that in two ways. I mean, we're fully aware that our usual, you know, mode of operandi is jump in, you know, spend a little bit of time, try to encapsulate the entire situation or picture, as it will, and then come back and report. I think what was different this time for us in particular was we actually reached out to people ahead of time when we could, and one of the things that created, as well as spending, you know, these interviews and photographs typically took about 3 hours.
3 hours.
Time, yeah.
Wow.
And so in that time, we just kept the conversation going even afterwards. There are a couple of people who still that we photographed on the project who are still emailing me. Sorry, about once per week. So I don't think that these guys, you know, it wasn't a quick hit by any sort of the means.
Wendy Gallietta is health and science photo editor for The Washington Post. Anne Gerhart is a Washington Post senior editor at large. They were both editors on a Washington Post project called What Unites Us, interviewing two people from every state and D.C. to understand the commonalities that Americans share. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think it means to be an American? What do you think all Americans have in common? And what were some of these common themes that you found in the interviews?
Well, the process that we undertook was to interview folks. We made audio recordings of them. We then transcribed those. In some cases, those transcripts were several pages long. Some people talked a lot about their personal history, their family background, their ancestry, the struggles and achievements they'd had along the way. As I said earlier, you know, I think people had this deep yearning and were really happy that someone came to them. A number of people said, you know, we're ordinary Americans and no one really asks us what we think. And so once those transcriptions were made, I read through probably the first 30 to see what kinds of themes emerged in common. And, you know, I sorted them into roughly 7 categories. I mean, there were people who talked about it being the great melting pot and the diversity of the country. People talked about freedom and fundamental rights, the freedom of speech, the freedom of dissent, the freedom of religion. People talked about the right to vote, you know, in that category. The country as a place of opportunity where you could achieve the American dream if you worked hard enough, and people had different interpretations about what that meant for different groups. People talked about their faith in the country, that even through times of trouble, there were these bedrock principles upon which it had been founded, which would remain strong, kind of institutional structures, the separation of powers, that sort of thing. There were people who talked about their fear for the future and talked about their concerns they had, social change they saw, an over-reliance on technology and a coarsening of the rhetoric that disturbed them. There were a number of people who talked about the safety of the country, particularly people who came from elsewhere. They would say, you know, Americans don't really understand that, you know, where I come from, there's famine or there's war, and this is a safe place. And so from that, we kind of identified those 7 core values. Many people expressed several of them, and I charted them all in my little analog, you know, bullet journal-like chart. Some people would talk about 4 or 5 of them. They were closely related. But from each of those, people usually had something they talked about predominantly. And so that was how we I assigned them a predominant value that they seemed to hold most dear. And from that, we could create what you'll see on the project, which is almost like a visual data set, a mosaic of all the people out of the 102 who talked about, say, freedom you know, there were more than 60 of them. So that was kind of how we went about doing it. And they were really eloquent and had some really remarkable things.
We're talking about a project at the Washington Post called What Unites Us. They interviewed two people from every state and D.C. to get at the commonalities Americans share. They asked people to think about what it means to be an American at this time. We're talking to two staffers behind the project. Wendy Gallietta is health and science photo editor for the Post, and Gerhardt is a Washington Post senior editor at large. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think it means to be an American? What do you think all Americans have in common, even if they may not realize it? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll return after a check of the news. As part of the What Unites Us project, the Washington Post interviewed 102 people, including Kelly McDaniel of Osceola. We're exploring the project on this hour of the morning show. Kelly McDaniel felt that having the freedom to choose, whether that means the freedom to choose where you live and work or the freedom to choose your religion, is a vital part of what it means to be an American. Here's an excerpt of what she told the Washington Post.
I don't understand how any religion can be un-American, right? That's the point of America.
That's one of the interviews from the Washington Post project, What Unites Us. We're talking to Ann Gerhardt, senior editor at large for the Post, and Wendy Gallietta, health and science photo editor. They worked on the project as editors. Your insights on what it means to be an American at 800-642-1234. Do you think more unites Americans than we realize? Do you think it's possible to overcome our current political and ideological divides? Do you think there's anything we should do to overcome our differences, political or otherwise? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Kelly now, who joins us from Burlington. Hi, Kelly. Hey, Kelly, are you there? Nope, Kelly is not with us. Let's go to Peter in Toma. Hi, Peter. And we're having problems with Peter. I guess we can't hear Peter as well. Wendy, I want to ask you, did you find that people were open to having themselves photographed where they were? Because people are willing to talk about their lives and communicate verbally, but what about when there was a camera around?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the game, right, I guess, in a way, because the idea behind doing the interview and doing the photography at the same time is just nearly impossible. So each of the photographers, they employed their own technique, as it were, when they were on with folks. And so a lot of times that meant you simply do the interview first. That's kind of a way to get to know each other. And then at the point when the camera comes out, this is already an old friend. You already know this person. And I think it helps people feel more comfortable when they kind of have a sense of what the person's like.
You had to gain their trust, and you had to develop this rapport before you could go and get really the core of the information for the project.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think I know many people who are comfortable in front of a camera who aren't usually photographed. And so we wanted to make sure that we were spending time with a cross-section of folks so that we were really photographing people that, maybe had never been photographed by a news photographer before, maybe had never sat for an interview before. That was really important to us.
And what do you think about developing this trust in order to gather this really important information?
Well, you know, I think in some ways that conversation between the photographer and the person being photographed is a base of a lot of what we heard over and over. You know, you have people who are strangers to each other, but they meet in the same conversation, and they try to kind of searchingly identify some ideas they each have, some thoughts they have about the society at large, and then their own personal stories and how they feel connected to each other. And what we heard over and over again was one of the ways to try to solve the divide is that people have to speak to each other face to face, that the distance that grows between people looking at a Twitter feed or even looking at people who are acquaintances on their Facebook stream is not as personal and doesn't yield the same kind of sense of community as people who are having a conversation face-to-face, you know, people who may meet. I mean, we heard that from a lot of folks. One woman in particular who is from North Carolina, came from Jamaica, works at the front desk at a Marriott. And she described herself as just being a really outgoing person. And she said, you know, you never know what somebody else is going through. Empathy and community were a big theme that came through all of these interviews. And a lot of people spoke about how they looked out for people who they didn't even know. They volunteered in their local communities. They tried to talk to people they didn't know. They'd pay attention and make sure the elevator door wasn't closing on someone instead of looking at their phone. So I think that was a common trait. And in some ways, I think that initial contact between the photographer and the subject was that kind of a conversation too.
Let's go to Kelly now in Burlington. Kelly, hi. Can you hear us now?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Go ahead.
I'm calling for Almost Famous Video Review magazine, which is an all-ages magazine. I would like to think that one thing we all have in common is that we're born free in the United States of America. But that's not so anymore. My 11-year-old granddaughter called me last week, and I hear all this crying behind her. And I'm like, where are you? She goes, Mama, or Grandma, I'm in the cafeteria. All my friends are crying. They might have to go back to Mexico. David's crying. Ari is crying. Ray is crying. These children for this Dreams Immigration Project have names and faces. Are we really all born free in this country?
Kelly, thank you for that observation and that story. Wendy, you first. How did immigration come up in these conversations?
Well, I think there's certain things that we couldn't escape, and the conversation of immigration is 100% one of them. I mean, I think it's on everyone's mind, no matter how it affects you. I think it affects all of us. We did interview a couple of people two women in particular, who are DACA recipients, and one woman in California, Noemi, she talked about she had come to this country when she was three, and she didn't know any other life. And I think, you know, we had everyone from DACA, you know, kind of people to people who had immigrated here and worked at Intel, worked as an engineer for ZFAR in Duluth. And I think no matter how you got here, or if you were born here, there's also a different idea of what freedom is, I think, too, right? Born free and opportunity. You know, is freedom kind of lead to opportunity? I think there's certainly an argument to be made there, and I think that was a common theme also that people talked about as well.
Ann Gerhart, did people talk about children in these conversations? Because you were talking to adults for all of these interviews, is that right?
Most of them were adults. I mean, I think the youngest person we interviewed and photographed was 16 or 17. There were a couple emerging adults, people who might be on the cusp of adulthood. But yes, for the most part, we were talking to adults. A number of people were interviewed with their children. And certainly plenty of people talked a lot about their dreams and their hopes as Americans was about being able to provide a better life for their children. You know, one of the women who was an immigrant to this country said, what did she want for her child? she wanted him to be president of the United States. Like, that sense that that opportunity was boundless for children came through in a lot of people we talked to, no matter their background. Certainly, diversity and immigration were a big part of the conversation, and we did talk to a few people who voiced their concerns about completely open immigration. One of them, an immigrant himself in Michigan, who felt that it wasn't best for the security of the country to let in anyone. But frequently, of course, when we're talking about this politically, I think it's not always clear what we're talking about. You know, I don't think anyone is really proposing that every single person can come into the country. And yet that is the kind of bold outlines of the conversation. It's always this either or. Mm. And the moderate ideas in the middle as to having a pathway, having checks and balances, those frequently never get raised. But a number of people of all kinds, particularly the people who talked about community and empathy, were very concerned about the concept that you would have children who had come here who knew no other life, who were now even adults, being sent back to places where they didn't know anybody or have any sense of having lived there. You know, people who felt that they were American.
Yeah. Let's go to Becky now in Oshkosh. Hi, Becky.
Hey. My point is that I believe that Americans, because they're free, have power. And I just think that government doesn't want people to get together. I kind of liken it to an abuser in a household. They throw something out there so the family fights. Because if they got together, they would deal with the abuser. And I think that's the way it is in government. And I think we all find things that we agree that's not right with government. So it doesn't matter what side you vote on. If we came together and fought against those, we'd be much better off.
Becky, thank you. Wendy, to what extent is this project a reaction to the 2016 presidential election?
Well, I think it was a reaction kind of to the reaction leading up, in a way. You know, when conversations were heavily entrenched in the idea of divisiveness and us and them, conversations coming out of media and, you know, even heard in the street, on the street and in coffee shops and such, we wanted to explore, like, really, what is kind of pulling us back together? Is there anything there? Or do we have any commonalities anymore? We thought no one was asking this question. Let's explore it. Let's see if what we hope is correct. You know, is it possible that there's still any thread of, you know, unity between the country? And I think we were delighted in people's responses because we as optimists, we were hoping that that was the case. And in fact, you know, people who come from incredibly different walks of life would talk about unifying ideas in the same way and come from completely different backgrounds. And that was just really quite interesting, fascinating, and I don't think we had expected exactly that to happen, so it was very cool.
And Becky in Oshkosh said, you know, America's politics, its government, it's pulling people apart, and people need to band together. Did you hear a thread like that in your interviews?
I think that most people did not directly address government. Mm. Some people talked about that, and they talked about the ways in which they thought government, yes, indeed, wasn't for the people. A lot of people were concerned about the money that seeps into politics and how that colors what they thought their elected representatives did, that they weren't really there representing the people. They were there lining their own pockets. I think that is a thread that is very particularly American, right? I mean, we're a country founded by people who were putting their thumb into the eye of the king. And so there is a deep and healthy distrust of government, which we, in our line of work, like to call accountability. You know, we like to hold them to account. So, yes, I think there were people who felt that government was pulling it apart, and people who very strongly felt that this constant reliance on communication through devices was very much pulling us apart. both men and women talked about that and their concerns for their children, and how by only connecting with an outside group of people through a feed of some kind, Instagram, Snapchat, you know, people were not able to really know each other anymore, that that was breaking down bonds of community.
Talking right now with Anne Gerhart. She's a senior editor at large at The Washington Post, as well as Wendy Gallietta, who is health and science photo editor for The Washington Post. They were both part of the editing of the What Unites Us project at The Washington Post. It was published a week ago. We're spending time with the takeaways from this project that explored what it means to be American. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Let's go to that question. What do you think it means to be an American? Does this conversation about common values resonate with you? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Mark in Wauwatosa. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I think that as Americans, we need to take and acknowledge and recognize the humanity amongst each other as Americans, but also our humanity and our place in the rest of humanity around the world. Because I think we're just completely missing the mark, and there's too much of us and them and division, and I feel like it just needs to stop, and we need to focus on the fact that we're all human and we exist together. And the only way to really succeed is to continue working together.
And do you see humanity in grouping in the categories you grouped in people's beliefs?
Yes, we certainly heard that a lot. I mean, you know, I think, as Wendy earlier mentioned, Fazard Farr, who is from Minnesota, said, I think it's a human dream, okay, that we are all united that way. James Davis from Nevada said, what is a country? What are the borders really? That sense of finding humanity in all of us. Several people talked about we all bleed the same color, and they came from very different walks of life. I mean, as Wendy said, one of the things that delighted and surprised us is if you would look at photographs, which we're so used to doing, you would say, oh, that person is this kind of person, and that person is that kind of person. And you would think that they had nothing in common, and in fact, they would say almost the identical thing, which really is something I think people need to confront. You know, they have these affinity groups, and they see someone as not being like them when, in fact, they express the same kinds of values. Another thing I think that really came out that was significant is how many people said being an American means you have a responsibility, and your responsibility is to engage. You have to work on perfecting the society. The American dream is living, and it has its flaws, and you need to work at to preserve it. And a number of people talked about that and talked about the ways they did it. It might be as simple as saying you always have to vote. One woman said, my grandmother told me you always have to vote. You know, I'm preaching to the choir here. Wisconsinites are very good at that. They have one of the highest percentages of voter participation in the country, along with Minnesotans. But I think that that was a really interesting thread. People felt you had to do something yourself. You couldn't just sit back and wait for some other force to make your country the way you wanted it to be.
We're talking about the What Unites Us project from the Washington Post, spending time with understanding what they made from this multimedia project that explored what it means to be an American. The Post interviewed and photographed people in every state. Wendy Gallietta stays with us. She's a health and science photo editor for The Post, and Anne Gerhart is senior editor at large. They both worked as editors on the What Unites Us project. Your insights on What Unites Us at 800-642-1234. Does this conversation about common values resonate with you? Do you think it's possible to overcome our current political and ideological divides? Or will we stay this divided? Are Americans really all that divided after all? 800-642-1234. Back after this news. In the year since President Trump took office, Washington Post photographers set out to explore what unites Americans. They went to every state, took pictures of Americans, and recorded audio interviews. What values and beliefs are shared in a country often described as polarized? We're exploring that question with two Washington Post staffers who edited the project. Wendy Gallietta is health and science photo editor, and Ann Gerhardt is a senior editor at large. Your thoughts on what it means to be an American are welcome at 800-642-1234. As you've listened to this conversation, have you too found shared values and beliefs that surfaced in this What Unites Us project? What do you think all Americans have in common? Join in or email ideas at WPR.org. Wendy, all of the pictures feature the subject with a photographic backdrop that's sort of this semi-transparent screen, but the backdrop isn't actually being used as a backdrop. Instead, it's kind of this prop. Can you talk about that and what you did to decide how you use backdrops in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, when we started out with this project, we were looking at We knew that we were going to go all the way across America and that every landscape was going to look different. That's part of what makes the physical part of America so great. And we wanted to think about an item or think about a traditional photography technique or practice that we could interweave through all of the portraiture. And we started out with a background. And when we put the background up and we were photographing just some test photos, one of the things that immediately stood out to us was that background is solid. And what you were missing was the entire landscape, if you will. And so we tinkered with the idea of a transparent background. And when we got the test photos back, when we were looking at them, everyone was happy with that. Everyone loved this idea that we could still use this traditional technique of a background for portraiture. It's pretty pretty common, and yet shoot wide enough that we encompassed more than the background to kind of play or tease this idea out of the differences within America that we've been to. And so this background appears in all of the images, and in some in a very traditional way, you know, right behind the subject, maybe like 18 inches off of their shoulders, and then others kind of peeking in the back of the frame a little bit or just arranged differently so that we're still kind of keeping that thread going through without getting too visually redundant. That was important as well.
Sandy from Columbus called in, couldn't stay with us. She said the project is not complete because they did not interview American citizens from Puerto Rico and other territories that we consider as our people. Ann Gerhardt, is there still more work to be done here?
Well, you know, we considered that actually, and we thought about what we could do in speaking to Americans who live abroad and who live in other parts of America, our territories, Puerto Rico, that have citizenship. We had done a lot of other reporting, particularly in Puerto Rico. In fact, I had just worked on a project about Puerto Ricans living without power for over 3 months that we spent a lot of time there delving into that. And then certainly I think that they should be engaged in that conversation. But we made a decision that we were going to keep it to the United States and the District of Columbia, where we are, which is not a state, and to have it be that kind of tight look at Americans in that particular way. You know, people who have representation in Congress, which people in Puerto Rico, in the Marshall Islands, in Guam do not. So that was how we made that decision.
Wendy,
certainly the idea of engaging Americans is something we try to do all the time and will continue to do as we do our reporting around all of the areas of life that we cover.
And Wendy, as we start to wrap up, I want to ask each of you, was there anything that really surprised you about this project? And for you, Wendy, were there any particular photographs that really stood out to you?
You know, when we were talking
we'd come to the completion of shooting all of the photographs, and we had them up all on a big wall, which we were calling our war room, just plastered on this entire wall. And I think that when I looked at every one of those photographs, the thing that really surprised me was how willing people were to be open, to let us come to their homes, to talk to us for 3 hours about how they felt. They never had to do that, right? Just the idea that they were so willing and so passionate to engage with us and open themselves up was just absolutely beautifully surprising to me personally.
They gave you their time, which is very valuable. And as we wrap up, your most surprising moments of this project?
I would say what surprised me the most was the deep yearning people had to feel connected, because I do think that what we're constantly bombarded with is this sense of divisiveness. And as your caller had earlier said, this us versus them mentality. So that surprised me, and I found it gratifying. I'm pretty much of a communitarian myself, I think. And also, I was surprised how deeply people wanted to be heard, and I think there's a lesson in that for all of us as we go about our daily lives, that people have a story, and they'd like to be asked what that story is, and when they answer, they'd like to feel you're really listening.
Well,
that's important for us as journalists and as human beings, I guess.
Wendy and Anne, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
That was Anne Gerhart, Senior Editor-at-Large at The Washington Post, and Wendy Gallietta, Health and Science Photo Editor for The Washington Post. Both edited the What Unites Us project that was published a week ago, and it explores what it means to be an American. Now let's talk about a project we're doing here at WPR to try to get a more complete picture of how Wisconsin voters feel in the issues they care about most. WPR's news department is rolling out what they're calling the Beyond the Ballot Project this month. Bridget Bowden is here to talk about it. She is a special projects reporter at WPR. Bridget, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about Beyond the Ballot.
Beyond the Ballot is an initiative that our news department will be rolling out next month, where we have a goal of talking to 500 Wisconsinites over the course of the next 8 months or so, leading up to the fall elections. So we really want to talk to as many people as possible and hear what issues are important to them.
Why did the news team decide to do this project?
We decided to do this project because we do a lot of stories where we hear from politicians and we hear from officials and we hear from people who are in charge of organizations. What we want to do more of is stories that we hear from the public, and we hear what's important to them, what issues are on their mind, and what comes up in their day-to-day lives.
How is this different from how WPR has gone about its elections coverage in the past?
In the past, we have covered the candidates and will, of course, continue to do that. So you will know who's on the ballot and what they're saying. But in addition to that, you'll also hear what the people have to say. And we're hoping to find issues that we didn't know about and really share them with our statewide audience.
So how will you put Beyond the Ballot into practice? How will you find people to talk to?
We are going to be at events, so we will see you, first of all, at the Wisconsin Public Television Garden Expo coming up next month, and we'll be at summer festivals, and we'll be at the State Fair, probably, and we are also going to be reaching out to groups of people, community groups, and, you know, churches, and seeing if we can go out and talk to them. And everyone we meet, all 500 people, will be asking them the same 6 questions. So we'll have a good sample of the same 6 questions.
And let's hear, what are those questions? We don't know those questions yet. That's the big reveal?
They are in the works, so I don't want to give anything away just yet.
How will these questions inform your reporting?
In a couple different ways. So we are hoping to find ideas for stories that we didn't know about, issues that we didn't know were important to the people of Wisconsin. And then we'll take those ideas and really dig into them. And we'll also use the audio that we gather with these six questions in our traditional election coverage. So our stories about the candidates. People are going to have things to say about the candidates, and we'll use those in our traditional stories as well.
Do you find in your reporting that people want to provide their insights, that they want to provide their observations about politics and beyond?
Yes, people want to be heard. People want to share their stories. People want you to know what's going on in their community and what's important to them.
When will people be able to find out more about the Beyond the Ballot project?
We're hoping to be up and running starting in March, so you'll start to see our stories coming out then. In the meantime, you'll see us at the Garden Expo.
And will there be any type of rollout of what these questions are? Can people think about these questions perhaps before they come up to your booth at the Garden Expo?
Sure. I don't know what that would be, but I'd certainly be willing to talk to anyone who wants to talk to me.
So tough questions, but really you're wanting some thoughtful answers and willing to spend time with people.
Yes, we want to hear people's stories. We want to know how the issues that are coming into play in these very important elections are reflecting in people's lives.
Well, Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with the project.
Thank you for having me.
Bridget Bowden is a special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. She was introducing us to WPR's Beyond the Ballot project. It is launching next month at the Garden Expo here in Madison. Earlier, we spoke to Washington Post editors Wendy Gallietta and Ann Gerhart about the Washington Post project called What Unites Us, and that project was published a week ago. This hour, the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening.